I want to just tell you what we are going to do this evening so that you have a little understanding. We will start with a philosophical lecture, which is the third, no, I should correct myself, the fourth lecture in a seminar which deals on the three modes of material nature. After this, we will have a little surprise for all of you, and then a theater play. You might see the devotees set up everything. Don't think it is out of order. They are preparing the stage for the play. So this evening's text, let us read it once again, but do you all understand the translation? Is it loud enough? Yes? Alright. Good. Chetra chetra gyayo evang antaram jnana shakshusha bhuta prakriti mokshancha yevidur jnantite param. Translation. Those who see with eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body, and can also understand the process of liberation from bondage in material nature, attain to the supreme goal. In our seminar, we have been discussing different states of consciousness which are influenced by the three modes of material nature. There are three of these modes. One is ignorance, the second is passion, and the third is goodness. The mode of ignorance is characterized by inertia, by depression, and by sleep. It is a helpless condition. In the mode of passion, a person is very active, he's extremely attached to receive and enjoy the results of his activities. And in the mode of goodness, a person is satisfied within himself without much extraneous endeavor. In the mode of goodness, the person seems to be very happy, and also in knowledge. It is very interesting to note that in the mode of that there are different world views also, which are influenced by the three different modes. The world view of someone who is in ignorance is very small, almost like the world view of the jabats, the frog within the well. For the frog in the well, the little world in the well means everything. In the same way, a person in the mode of ignorance only knows his work and food and drink, and in this way is limited. In the mode of passion, the worldview is extended. One sees many differences and many varieties in this world, and also makes these differences or marks these differences as very significant. You can, for instance, see the mode of passion on a football place, where because of different teams, the different members or the different ghosties or visitors of the football game can become deadly enemies. This is especially in Germany so, where a lot of violence is committed on the football place. When one team wins and the other team, of course, loses, then the fans of the teams are just fighting with each other. The polis is powerless to arrange anything. This is a mode of passion, very active and very attached. It also happens between different nationalities, people, just because of these different names, East, West, you know, become deadly enemies to each other. The mode of goodness in the world, there you don't see the differences, but you see the equality of all beings. A person, for instance, in the mode of ignorance, when he would look at this assembly of people, he would think, oh, these people are all a little out of their minds, because they sit on the floor without a stolica. This means they cannot talk philosophy. Something must be wrong with them. A person in the mode of passion would see totally different. He would see the differences. Oh, here's a person from Macedonia. Here's a person from Serbia. There is a person from Sweden. And here is a man, and there is a woman. And because of his worldview, he would maybe pass judgments. And the person in the mode of in the mode of goodness would see, oh, here are spirit souls. Here are living entities dressed in different bodily costumes, but they are all the same in their relationship to the Lord. Do you understand? So these modes of material nature influence the consciousness and the thought of someone and his whole being. In this seminar, we have been discussing what one can do in order to rise to the mode of goodness, where it is much easier to practice spiritual life than if you are in passion or in ignorance. And we will continue where we stopped this afternoon. We stopped during in our afternoon session at from 2 o'clock, or we were a little late this time, from around 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We stopped at different tips which help us to develop the mode of, to cultivate the mode of goodness inside, which is very favorable for the development of Krishna consciousness. Now, to just give you a little, because we have guests who are the first time, let me see, who have not been to the previous sessions, and also devotees, because of different services, are not all, you know, so to say, fully informed what we discussed this afternoon. I want to just briefly summarize how one can cultivate a certain mode of nature. It is simply done if you adopt a behavior, or if you adopt the connection, or if you have a connection to things and activities which are already situated within these modes. To give you a very simple example, if you, for instance, sit like Dharma Setu in a very relaxed way, it can easily happen that you fall under the influence of the mode of ignorance and fall asleep. That's a very biological fact. Or let us say, I mean, if you lie down, for instance, like Dharma Setu did, then it's possible to fall asleep very, very easily. You follow? I mean, Dharma Setu didn't lie down. I just... Or, to give another example, if you are together with people who are very agitated, then it is very easy for you to also become agitated. Association acts very much like a mirror. Whatever you put before the mirror becomes reflected within the mirror. In the same way, the association which you have becomes reflected in your heart, and you develop these qualities, the qualities of the people or the situations with which you have association. It's, in other words, not very difficult to understand how to cultivate a mood. You just have to adopt the activities or the association, and then you have that mood in your heart and consciousness. So, we started this afternoon to enumerate a few easy to follow tips which help all of us to develop these modes of material nature. And we will continue where we left off, hoping that our listeners who have come now into the seminar will derive great practical benefit from these tips and elevate their lives to the higher modes. Satisfaction in any condition. A person should learn to be satisfied. Srila Prabhupada has said that in previous times, those who were men of knowledge, they knew the art how to be satisfied by simply drinking a glass of water. I think, so in other words, they didn't make big arrangements for their eating and housing and so on and so forth. I think the point here is obvious. Someone who is not satisfied with simple things, he can also not be satisfied with big arrangements. One second. That's a very good idea. I think we can close the fan, isn't it? Because one gets a little cold. Thank you. This was once expressed by Vamana Dev, an incarnation of Krishna. Vamana Dev was given the permission by Bali Maharaj to ask for whatever he wanted. And Bali and Vamana Dev said, "I want as much land as I can measure by making three steps." So Vamana said, "This is not very intelligent. You have come to the king. You can ask whatever you want from him, and you want three steps of land." So Vamana at that time answered, and it's a very wise answer. He said, "One who cannot be satisfied with simple things, he will also not be satisfied if he possesses the whole planet. When he has the whole planet, he will want the whole universe for himself." He was, in other words, expressing the fact that someone in the mode of passion cannot be satisfied. He must always, he's condemned to be unsatisfied due to his unending amounts of desires. So, we continue. Generosity is another quality which should be adopted. You should be generous and give things away, in other words, to become happy in your life. Now, the West, the materialistic civilization, has exactly the opposite. In America, you will be interested to hear, people are so much infected by this materialistic concept that they keep on buying new things in the hopes to become satisfied. Now you can rent in America big halls where you can put the things which you do not need and store them. And once a year, if you have time, you can walk through the halls and look at everything which you have bought. Can you imagine this? You cannot store all the things which belong to you in your own house, so you need to rent a hall and just fill the hall full with things. This is clearly an indication of the mode of passion, where one is obsessed by ever new desires, thinking that one will make them happy, will make oneself happy. So a person should, if he wants to elevate himself to the goodness, be generous. That means give things away. Pens, food, what else? If we have a cloth, excess cloth, we should give it to the poor bhaktas. We can cultivate this quality that whenever we have more than we need, to give this away, and you will see, you will become very happy by doing this, because you have cultivated this mode of goodness where happiness is the immediate result. Try to give things away. I mean, we don't have much, usually. But by giving things away, especially if you give knowledge away, you become very satisfied within. You can make the experience. So this is called generosity. The greatest generosity is to give people their eternal connect, or help people to redevelop their original God consciousness. The next quality which can be developed can be followed is renunciation of sense gratification. When you actually meditate a little bit on the illusion of sense gratification. Let us give an example of eating. Your tongue wants more and more and more. Okay? The more you eat, the more you peck your stomacho. And the more your stomach is full, it means the more biological work has to be done to digest all this. And you might spend longer times at the private, in the bathroom for that reason. It's only because there are some nerve cells on this little guy between the jaws, who screams, more, more, hochi more, hochi more, hochi yosh, hochi yosh. And no matter what you put on the tongue screams, hochi mos. Yes? The stomacho says, milos, but the tongue screams, hochi mos. This is the embarrassing situation of material existence. So this was just one sense gratification. So a devotee or someone who wants to cultivate the mode of goodness, he will take care that he only takes as much as he really needs, so that they live. Then the next activity one should adopt is faith in the spiritual master. See, usually we place much faith in our own ideas, but our mind is limited by the amount of information and realization which we have. The spiritual master is a person who has more information due to his knowledge from the revealed scriptures, and also more realization due to the advancement in consciousness which he has gone. So it is not so wise to place faith in your own mind. It is wiser to place faith in the knowledge and realization of the spiritual master. Then the next quality which should be developed is being embarrassed at improper action. When we do something wrong, we should not feel bad to say sorry and to feel sorry. Due to the false pride which is covering us, we often are not able to say sorry, and we are not able to say that we have done a mistake. Charity is another qualification which must be cultivated. We had that already. Simplicity is another quality. Humbleness. Is another quality. I just want to describe one quality which is missing nowadays very much. It is being embarrassed at improper action. See, if you want to correct your life, you need to go through four steps. One is regret. You must feel sorry for what you did. No, sorry, the first step, I made a mistake, is to recognize your mistake. If you always want to think that you are the center of the universe, it's very difficult to recognize one's own mistake. So that's the first thing. Then the second step is to regret. I must feel sorry, genuinely sorry, for what one did wrong. The third step is rectification. And the fourth step is called reunion. In other words, if one did something wrong towards a person, one has to go through these three steps. One has to recognize one's mistake, regret it, rectify it, and then reunion. Then the result is one can again be together with that person after having corrected his mistake. So people are not very self-analytical and not very self-critical at this time of at this time in our lives, and for this reason they can also not correct their past mistakes. They always think, anyways, I'm all right, you know, the others just don't recognize me, I says. So this is being embarrassed at improper action for those of you who take notes. Then you should cultivate charity, then simplicity, then humbleness, and finally satisfaction within oneself. You must be able to be satisfied with your life. Count your fortune, as they say. For instance, if you live in a spiritual community, you can be satisfied. Oh, I live in a spiritual community. Oh, God is taking care of my life, because I'm trying at least to surrender to Him. Even if, you know, if you always are unsatisfied, oh, I must achieve this, oh, I must do this, oh, I must distribute more books, oh, I must, then you're killing yourself by the mode of passion. I'm not saying now that we should say, Moshe, I am okay. No need to improve. This is not what I'm trying to express. I'm just trying to express it is very harmful to us, to our lives, if we are constantly putting ourselves under pressure and finally break apart from the pressure. This modern materialistic society puts so much pressure on the individual members, an economic pressure, a political pressure, a pressure that you have to be good. The women nowadays all think they have to look good and put schminka and fashionable clothes in order to be liked by the mushkas, by the men. The men think they have to also be able to shoot a pistol, you know, and be, I don't know if that was the best example, but you know, to drive a car and to have Nimetz Kamaka and so on and so forth. There is a constant pressure put by the industry upon the people of our age. So devotee must learn to be satisfied. Srila Prabhupada once gave a very, very wonderful example of what this means to be satisfied within oneself. Once it was in Los Angeles at the airport, he was asked, "Are you happy?" It was a kind of aggressive question. "Are you happy, Wangxi?" You know, like this. You can imagine, huh? Little aggressive question. And Prabhupada said yes, and gave an example what he meant with this yes. He said, it's just like now. I'm still here in Los Angeles, but I have a ticket from an authorized airline, and to London. And because I have this ticket to London in my hand, I'm satisfied because I know I will go to London. This airline brings people to London. So in his humility, this was the example. In the same way, he said, I know that there is a bona fide process. It is a process of Krishna consciousness, which I follow. And this process brings one to Krishna. In this way, I'm happy. In his humility, he was, you know, showing himself like one of the conditioned soul who has not yet reached full Krishna consciousness, but who knows of the process. Let us, you know, give an example. Maybe there's someone in Beograd who just wants to go to London. There are many young people or older people who feel like this, that and although they are not yet in London, because the arrangement is perfect, they feel happy because they know there's only a little time which separates me from my zeal. This makes one very happy. So in the same way, in Krishna consciousness, although one may still be a little bit, you know, under the influence of material nature, and one is not yet at the perfection, one has not yet reached the perfected level of Krishna consciousness, simply due to the fact that one is in contact with an authorized process which works, one can be satisfied. Resume? Is it like if I ask resume, does it mean, do you understand? This means resume?
Resume,
something like that. Okay. So this is what can, this is how everyone, even the most newcomer to Krishna consciousness, can be satisfied in his life. See, you can be satisfied by knowing my zeal, my goal in my life is the eternal spiritual world. And here is a process which has been handed down from time immemorial. Krishna makes this point in the Bhagavad Gita when he talks to Arjuna. He says, you should know, Arjuna, that just like the people in the past who reached perfection by following this immortal path of the Vedas, you also will reach perfection in your life by following the immortal path of Krishna consciousness. In other words, please just try to cultivate the mode of goodness. It means and from it means to just keep the rules a little bit of Krishna consciousness. Here, most of my listeners today are devotees who live in the temple, and I want to just speak first for them and then to the other listeners who are people interested in Krishna consciousness for various reasons, but who live outside of a spiritual community. If you live in the temple, rise early, learn to be kind to others, have a good relationship to devotees, be enthusiastic and patient. If you practice these simple rules, you will find that you can be very undisturbed in your Krishna consciousness. Now, if you live outside of the temple community, you should avoid those places which are very hectic and passionate, and where ignorant people who are engaged in sinful activities congregate. It's also not so good if you see, have connections with sinful or materialistic activities, or with people who have these activities, because you will be influenced in some ways or another. Just live a simple and peaceful life, trying to be and cultivate Krishna consciousness. Now, but we have to go further. It's not just enough if we are heavy vegetarians. The maimon in the zoo is also a heavy vegetarian. No, not happy. He's a little bit in ignorance, I would say. Much in ignorance. But you know, to just be a good person is not enough in this, especially not at this time, because there's so many things and changes in society which can even disturb you. So therefore, I want to end my seminar today by giving you further advice. Srinivas, we are reading on page 11, the first quote. Therefore, having achieved this human form of life, which allows one to develop full knowledge, those who are intelligent should free themselves from the contamination of the modes of nature and engage exclusively in loving service to me. A wise sage, free from all material association and unbewildered, should subdue his senses and worship me. He should conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by engaging himself only with things in the mode of goodness. Then, being fixed in devotional service, the sage should also conquer the material mode of goodness by indifference towards the modes. Thus pacified within his mind, the spirit soul, freed from the modes of nature, gives up the very cause of his conditioned life and attains me. See, when you are healthy, you should do something with your snaga and energy. Something which is meaningful. It's not that if you have been sick for a long time, and if you have laid in a bed and you get healthy, that you should just loiter around. No, you should do something with your strengths. So if you have received a little peace from the modes of material, from the lower modes of passion and ignorance, come to goodness, you should do something. And that is to engage in the transcendental devotional service. You should not just be satisfied with just being a happy person. You have the human form of life for the whole and sole purpose of self-realization. In it, I think you can understand this example. From the subtle conditioning of the mind and from the modes of nature born of material consciousness, the living entity becomes completely satisfied by experiencing my transcendental form. He no longer searches for enjoyment in the material energy, nor does he contemplate or remember such enjoyment within himself. In other words, by devotional service, you are ultimately able I'm sorry, I lost the trail of thought. You should engage in devotional service because by this engagement in devotional service you will be able to contact Krishna at whose lotus feet the soul rests in eternal pleasure and eternal peace. So this was my seminar. To come, in other words, to the stage where you are liberated from the modes, you should come to the stage where you understand I'm a servant of Krishna. So if you are interested to know more about this subject matter, please read in your private time the chapter 14 of the Bhagavad Gita. It is entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature, and you can understand much by studying this chapter and know more. Also, you might like to listen again to the tape recordings of these lectures to get more absorbed into the subject and learn how to practice a little bit the elevation to the mode of goodness. I want to end here and ask you if you do have some questions at this stage. Just one moment. Uno momento. We have to plan the surprise. Now, when you bring the cake, just cover it so that no one sees what you bring in. That is the surprise. Okay. You need help? You will see, huh? When you. So. Do you have any questions about what we have discussed so far? Accepting things with the heart? Well, this is a correct understanding. If you just accept things according to your emotions, you will reject the same things when your emotions change. This is often so if someone accepts Krishna consciousness due to just because it's, he's a little sentimental. Oh, such nice people. They smile so nice. And they have such fantastic dresses. And so on and so forth. If one just accepts due to sentiment, then if the mind changes, oh, I don't like the smile, I don't like the dresses any longer, then he will reject Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one should cultivate knowledge which can be done if one comes away from the platform of sentimentality, but understands with the intelligence what a thing is. That is a symptom of the mode of goodness. We have been talking about this, Dharma Setu. Yes.
If at once a lot of anattas are coming out, she asks, how can we overcome those stages?
Well, first of all, don't panic. When you are in the process of purification, then impurities come out. That has to be, that is a very natural process. When you start to, after a long time, to clean your room, you will see how dirty the room is. You remember the times and the paper, right? No one knows what is inside. if you cleans the room, you know, you may have lived in a room for a long, long time and never seen that there's any dirt. But then if you get on your knees and start scrubbing, you see, oh my God, ignorance. I want to give you another example. Sometimes devotees say this, before I came to the process of spiritual life, I thought everything is all right, but now, where I'm following Krishna consciousness, I see that there are so many dark sides in me. What is wrong? Nothing is wrong. It's just like, imagine this example, someone holds a gun at your head. But you don't know that it's a gun, because you don't look that way. You go like, you know, you're not very much disturbed. But if you know it's the gun, you go like, Ave Maria, Santa Maria, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. You follow? So now, before you came to Krishna consciousness, Anna, you were so much in ignorance, you didn't notice that there was something wrong. And now, where you are in Krishna consciousness, you develop some knowledge and you think, whew, I am a fallen soul in the material world. I need to make some advancement. This is very natural. This is good. Don't panic. You are on the right path. See, that's what we try to explain. First, there must be, you must recognize something. Then, regret, then rectify. Don't think, oh, there are so many anathas, I have no hope. Now get to work. Good. Anyone else? This is a natural reaction to for someone who is coming to the path of spiritual life. It is due to a certain experience. When in the material world people showed us our faults, it meant something very bad. For instance, when you were in the school and you were given a bad mark because the teacher said, well, your knowledge of the subject was not very high, it meant something you had to be afraid of. You have now a bad mark, and this means you failed the examination and you may have to repeat the year. Or if in the material world someone says, you have this mistake or that mistake, it means automatically rejection. One is rejected. So therefore, sometimes because we have made these experiences in the material world, when we come to Krishna consciousness and someone points out our faults, we immediately become afraid that we will be rejected, or in some ways that there will be misery. But in Krishna consciousness, the misery really is if we do not recognize our faults and if we do not change. The devotees will never exploit us when we do something wrong, but when they see that we sincerely regret having done mistakes, that we feel sorry for them, they will always give us a chance. Krishna gives us always a chance. He accepts us with our mistakes. However, he doesn't accept someone who does mistakes and is so pride that he does not want to admit these mistakes. Your reaction is a natural reaction from from someone who has experienced material life. But you should know that the devotees, at least older devotees, they are not seeing you like you were seen by people in material life. And when they point out a mistake, it is meant to help you so that you can correct the mistake and make further advancement. It is for your good. We always are afraid if someone says you do something wrong, we feel that we will be rejected or that there is some benefit, some harm to us. But it is not. When one is corrected, one feels very blissful. One only needs to have that faith that the devotees mean well. And I think we can all have this faith because the devotees are meant to help each other. I'm trying to think of another point which to the answer. Yes. One time there was a devotee who said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I like to be very much alone. He said like this. This is something similar to what you say. And Srila Prabhupada said as an answer, this feeling to be alone is a natural feeling for someone who reacts to material association, because material association is always troublesome, and one just wants to flee the association. Medyutim, a much why the reaction is that you, yes, avoid the material association, but you go to the spiritual association of devotees. You should never be alone from devotees. You should be alone from material contacts who exploit you, but the devotees who mean well, you should live in their association and become inspired in your Krishna consciousness. He was giving this as an answer. Moshe? Yeah? Okay, so we are slowly coming to the end. Let me just see. Here was one hand. Yes? In this body, yeah, which is, please repeat your question in. This morning we have discussed this point a little bit. We have said that the living entity should come out of his material heart and enter the spiritual heart. It simply means that in your you can either cultivate the material consciousness in your heart, or you can cultivate Krishna consciousness or spiritual consciousness. So if you come to the Dukhonin niveau, to the spiritual platform, then you can change. But if you remain on the material platform, very difficult. It's a fact. Nature is very, very strong. So just to develop the mode of goodness, I'm sorry, infinity, just to develop the mode of goodness without Krishna consciousness is very difficult. But we are always having, our main goal is Krishna consciousness, and even if we are still feeling traces of ignorance of and passion in our nature, just by adding this transcendental factor, Krishna, we Krishnarize everything. And I think you have this experience when you are in full Krishna consciousness, or, I mean, if you are as Krishna consciousness as you, if you have a high point in your Krishna consciousness, let us say it like this, then you automatically act in a way which is different from the way you would act before. Volume? Yes, please.
Is it necessary to before every round?
If that is necessary. Yes, I must say this will be the last question which we will answer. Then we will come to the surprise and then to the theater play, hopefully. Surprise, I think, is no longer a surprise. Yes, it is very good if you chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda and Jagaradha Srivasani Gaur Bhaktavrinda. By chanting this, offenses are cleared away, so that your chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is much easier, much more concentrated, and with more spiritual experience. So it is definitely recommended to chant this mantra before you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You shouldn't ask, is it necessary, as if it would be some, you know, not really torture, but some, you know, some unpleasant thing. it will help you. Good, so we want to now distribute a little bit a cake, because you have been following all these seminars so patiently, and I think the only thing which you need is some duchones naga, so that you spiritual strength, so that you can follow all the new inspirations which you have gotten. And from this, we want to give you a little Jagannath cake, a little medicine. So if you just come one after the other, I will just give you the cake. And in the meantime, we should ask who is here, like Adma B. Maybe you can do this. You can tell our theater troupe that we are ready, and that should please come and arrange everything while we are taking care of the cake. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Priti Gaur Nitai ki jai.